Anybody sitting down here has anything to ask? Concerning what I have spoken. Concerning what I have spoken. We have jumped so many things because of time.
That address is the one. There's one place I want you to clarify. He said, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. The third one, to confirm all that the month. When will that be?
In the millennium. Thank you. Who again? It's in the millennium. That's where all of us will be comforted. Yes? Yes? Go ahead from Nasarawa, Brother Peter.
Yes, I'm in Nasarawa.
Go ahead.
Okay, and I say concerning the symbol of faith, you say that we doesn't bow down to worship them, but he was also mentioning in one Sunday that Christ is everywhere. I said we are in the church. You were in the church the other Sunday. You were saying that Christ is everywhere in the church, not only the altar. So you also say that our symbol of faith, we are not bound down before them. So why is it that some people come to the altar to bow? Does it mean that it's only the altar that Christ is? That is just what I want to ask.
Okay. I hope I hear you clearly. We don't come to the altar to bow at those symbols at the altar. No. We are not worshiping any... We didn't make any image there. They are, after all, there are even pictures. We didn't carve anything to put there. This was put here to provoke question. It's deliberately placed at the altar. Anybody that comes, you will see it and it will provoke questions so that we will use it as opportunity to tell you who we are. That's why it is there. We are not bound before anything. We know more than that. Thank you very much. Yes?
All right, sir. Back to my questions. I was actually wanted to know about the baptism in the name of Jesus. There was a place, was in Acts of Apostle, where instead of Peter was talking about baptizing people, Paul was talking about baptizing people in the name of the Father and of the Son of Holy Spirit. I want to know if baptizing in the name of the Father and Son of Holy Ghost is no longer valid at this stage.
You know what? I forgive you first. You confess that you don't know Bible. You are humble enough, so I forgive you. Here, we don't allow people to ask questions when they don't know what they are talking about. But because you are humble enough to say you don't know Bible. But if I ask you, have you been baptized? What will you say?
Yes, sir.
Where?
I was baptized in my church.
Eh?
I was baptized by a mass.
Where? Not how?
At Dominion City.
Dominion City?
Yes, sir.
They baptized you in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost titles?
They are baptizing in the name of Jesus.
So what's your question? If they baptize in the name of Jesus?
They are baptizing in the name of Jesus. But in other place, I see people baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son of Holy Spirit. But the same place, I'm getting it confused. That's why I came out.
Sorry. You know, if you are sincere, the other places baptized in the title of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Your own church baptized in the name of Jesus. You will have asked the person that baptized you, why are you baptizing in the name of Jesus when other people are baptizing Father, Son, Holy Ghost?
There is a place I want to go. I started from the baptism. There is a particular thing. Because if they are dedicating a child, I hear some pastors say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So I'm trying to know if using the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is no longer valid as of this stage.
No, I say if you are sincere, you should ask your pastor. This question should be your pastor because He's doing something contrary to what other churches do if they baptize in the name of Jesus.
I still don't get it clear. Just one more question and I will leave.
No, I want to be very sincere with you because you look like a sincere person.
Yes, sir. I was baptized in the name of Jesus.
You were baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But other people baptized, we too here, we baptized in the name of Jesus.
But what I want to know clear is this. I remember in the scripture, in the New Testament, where they also mentioned the name of, that you can baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son of God.
I say you will have asked your pastor. Please, I give you between now and next Friday. Go and ask your pastor. You are not a member of this church. You belong to Dominion City.
The first time I came here was in 2005. And you baptized me here. Yes, sir. I was first baptized here. I was trying to get all this thing clear about the baptism. So I was first baptized here.
In 2005.
In 2005.
Yes.
So I was baptized, but that was when I know that baptism is right. Because
are you afraid of microphone?
No, sir.
Bring it closer to your mouth.
So I was first baptized here. Thank you. I was first baptized here by a mass. That was the first time I know that baptism is right because I came out from Catholic Church.
You came out from Catholic Church?
I came from Catholic Church firstly before joining Somalaja. So
why did you leave Catholic Church?
I was converted.
You were a sinner when you were in Catholic Church.
I was converted. No, when you see the truth, nobody will tell you.
So but when you came here, you didn't see any truth here. You went to Dominion City.
Something happened that I left Lagos. So when I encountered Dominion City, it was there.
Okay. Now, listen. Because you are now converted. Let me talk to you. The commandment was by Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. That we should go and preach to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That means there is one name. That name is the name of the Father, it is the name of the Son, and it is the name of the Holy Ghost. Because that is the name for our salvation. Then we understand why every baptism after that commandment was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. We get to know that name Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, anywhere you go and they just take you inside the water and baptize you in the name of the... They just repeat Matthew 28 verse 19 and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. They are not baptizing you by revelation. It is wrong. There is a name that is given for our salvation. And at the mention of that name, every knee bows. And it is that name, in word or in deed, Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, say we should do it in that name, giving glory to the Father. Therefore, correct water baptism is by immersion, signifying your death, your burial, and your resurrection. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you have baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Any other thing contrary, go and re-baptize. Your sins are still upon you.
Alright, sir. Which means that after the death of Jesus Christ, we started using the name, we baptized in the name of Jesus.
Of course, because salvation came by that name.
That is what I need, sir.
God bless you. I forgot something, please. Very, very important. There is another question here, please. I almost forgot. This is from Chukunda DK. You say, sir, my church, Assemblies of God Church, refused to baptize me because my attendance for the baptismal class was not up to 10 times minimum. Sir, is attending a baptismal class before you can be baptized scriptural? You see what we're talking about? The people saying that you don't know the meaning of baptism. Jesus Christ said they stand at the door, the Pharisees. They will not enter. And they will not let another person enter. Nothing like that. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached Acts chapter 2. And their hearts were pricked and they began to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he told them, repent. It's not baptismal class, it's repentance. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins. Baptism is for the remission of your sins. If somebody stops you from being baptized, he is telling you your sin must remain with you. You see what we're talking about? No, he said he went over, but he didn't reach 10 times. May God have mercy on us. God bless you. That day, 3,000 people, Acts chapter 2, that day they were baptized. Which baptismal class did they go to? Which baptismal class? Which baptismal class? That is the error in the denominational system. Repent. If you don't repent and you go for 6 months baptismal class and you enter that water, you are only going to swim if you don't repent. It's not baptismal class. Nothing like that. They are wasting your time. Wasting your time. Nothing like that. It's because they don't understand salvation. They don't understand salvation. Nothing. They don't even understand grace. Thank God, it's not in the hand of man to decide whether man will go to heaven or not. They will have given you condition. Do you know that if your papa die before they allow you to bury him in some denomination, they will bring his tithe, the one where he never pay. You must pay it before they allow you to bury him. So why would they use to calculate? How do they know his income? That they know he's owing. Then they keep him there. When it comes to marriage, come and see the hurdles they put before you marry. Anything that grace gave us freely, denominational system come to make it difficult. It's wrong. That's why God sent that ministry in this age. Come out of her, my people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God bless you. Somebody's on the line.
Pastor Alu, thank you very much, sir. I just want to use this medium to say thank you, sir, for your good works. And we all over the world here, and I believe there are people like me here all over the world enjoying your teaching. And if we must say the truth, God is really using you, you know, to explain the scripture in a manner that Christians are supposed to understand it much better. So I'm more grateful you are able to.
Thank you.
I'm more grateful.
Thank you, Pastor Walter from South Africa. I received that prayer in Jesus' name. Yes.
Amen, sir.
God bless.
I've got three questions here to ask, please, sir. Because I believe that every day I'm learning, God is helping me to learn so many things from the ministry. Number one is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I would love you to help me through some light here, because so many ministers and so-called pastors.
Colossians chapter 2.
2 verse 16. So many so-called pastors, they are really holding up to the scripture, misbehaving, drinking alcohol, and, so that, you know, claiming that nobody has any right to condemn them, doing what the members are doing. That's number one. Number two is wrong baptism. As I was arguing with somebody last week, wrong baptism, can it make somebody not to be raptured? Or can it hinder somebody from going to heaven? The third one, which is the last one, divorce. You know, the issue of divorce, the past is all over the world, more especially here in South Africa. So-called big names, I mean ministers, pastors, they are divorcing their wives, and for just noticing, for just little argument, probably they want to switch over to another woman. You see them, they will divorce. Or sometimes the problem might come from the woman. They will divorce the woman and remarry. A pastor is supposed to engage into this kind of lifestyle. Hence, Bible condemns divorce. Please, I would like to, as our teacher, if I may say, our rabbi for now, to people who will believe or who will agree with me, divorce by minister and pastor switching over to another man, is it public, sir? Please, sir. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. I only heard two things. I heard Colossians 2:16. That should be Apostle Paul telling us not to be judged by what we eat or we drink. Can we? Uh-huh. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, of the new moon, of the Sabbath days. He concluded it in verse 17. He said, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. If you look at that scripture holistically, Apostle Paul is saying, all those ordinances of don't eat this, don't drink that, because in drink, in meat, it's talking about the type of food you eat, and things like that. Remember, Christ himself made it clear to Peter when in Acts chapter 10, he gave him a vision of unclean animals that the Lord said they should not eat. And he was telling him, kill and eat. And Peter was telling him that, Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean. And then he told him, that which he has sanctified, let him not call it unclean. And he was referring to the Gentiles that he will soon be sanctifying with the same spirit that sanctified the Jews. So, Apostle Paul was trying to let us know we are now in grace where we shall not live by some do's and don'ts as it is portrayed in the law. That is not a license to go and start drinking alcohol. No. The truth about it is nobody genuinely will have the Holy Ghost and drink wine, drink alcohol. If you say you are a Christian, you have the Holy Ghost, and there is taste for alcohol in you, I am telling you, you have not received the Holy Ghost. God has made us priests and kings. Hallelujah. And in the Bible, for we are of a royal priesthood, and priests were forbidden from drinking alcohol in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Take note that Christianity is practical. It's not theory. I love alcohol. I was a drunkard myself. When the Bible says if a man be in Christ, a new creature, it's not you taking a decision now, I'm not going to do bad things again. No, the taste dies. That is where the miracle is. That is where they come. When you still see yourself struggling, you have not received yet nothing. So, if your own Holy Ghost allow you to go and drink alcohol, go ahead. Me, the same Holy Ghost I receive, it kill alcohol in me. It make you to be a drunkard. We will know that day. Nothing like that. Your second question is whether water baptism is compulsory. If you don't baptize, will you not go to heaven? No sinner will go to heaven. And for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God's provision, the sacrificial lamb for our sins, to be remitted is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died and was buried and resurrected for our justification. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is a right standing before God. And no sinner, sin has separated us from God. And God's provision for the sin to be remitted is the ordinance of water baptism. When you believe and you repent, when you enter that water and come, that blood washes your sins away. Therefore, if you are not baptized, your sins are still with you. You can never go to heaven like that. God bless you. Huh? What did he say concerning divorce? They are separating. They are divorcing and marrying. Pastor. They are ministers of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says so. Satan has ministers. A pastor, the Bible says, must be husband of one wife. And for somebody who claims to be a pastor and divorces and marries, you know, there's nothing but the spirit of adultery and fornication upon that man. Forget it, he's not converted one bit. He's not a Christian. No Christian will do that. God bless you. There are ministers of Satan behind pulpit to rubbish Christianity. God will judge all of them. Thank you. Yes. Sorry, only these two people, and then we
praise the Lord.
I beg. Yes.
Yeah, my name is Chong. I'm coming from Côte d'Ivoire.
Côte d'Ivoire, yes?
Yeah, I want to speak to Pastor.
I didn't hear you.
Okay. Hello, good evening.
God bless you.
Yeah, I have questions to answer. I have questions to ask. Yeah, I'm asking questions from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Yeah, my question is in 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 5. Yes. Your question of women that Timothy was talking about women to be quiet in the house of God. So, if at all the woman that doesn't have husband or some lady that doesn't have marriage, who will advise them?
She said, where Apostle Paul said that the women should keep silent in the church.
Yes.
If they need anything to know, they should ask their husband. She said, what of the women that have not married? Who will they ask?
Okay, I think that scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's read it. Verse 34. 34, 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. He went further and said, the next verse. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, listen. There's another scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now, he said, but I suffer, I permit not a woman to teach. not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. The next verse, this is the reason. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 is church order. When we come together like this, how we should comport ourselves by Apostle Paul to keep order in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where we read in verse 34 that the woman should keep silence, it's not permitted that they should speak in the church. I believe and I understand that it's talking because, remember, it is keep putting the church in order. I believe that when there is a matter to be solved in the church, the woman leave the men to handle it. Because when we come together as a church, there will always be one problem or the other. That is why there is no deaconess, no woman deacon, no woman elder, no woman pastor. It is a man affair. Don't go and put your mouth in the matter. Leave the men to handle it. He says it's a shame for the woman to stand and speak, because men should handle it. If you want to know what happened, he said, go and ask your husbands at home. And if you are not married, then go and ask the sister that is married to find out from her husband for you. I think I've answered that question. I've not answered. Well, that's the truth. That is the order that Apostle Paul put. Now, that scripture is not saying that a woman should just keep quiet like Mumu in the church. Praise the Lord. You say keep silent. You won't say hallelujah. You won't ask during Bible study, you won't ask questions. Or you won't operate any of the gifts. The gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the body gift, including women. You can prophesy, the gift of prophecy, speak in tongue and interpret, healing, miracle, all this, a woman can practice it in the church. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, does not belong to the woman. The woman cannot be ordained into these offices to lead where there are men. And Apostle Paul gave the reason. Thank you very much. Yes.
Praise the Lord. My name is Michael EJ. Please, sir, according to your statement, sir, you said people preaching outside in the streets, they are noise makers.
Yes.
Morning cry. Sir, you say they are noisemakers. And the Bible makes us to understand that go ye into the world and preach the gospel. And I also believe that that is part of evangelism.
There is no evangelism there. Look.
And
look, let me tell you. The problem with us is that you don't differentiate between making noise and preaching the gospel. A fisherman goes to fish to catch fish. You don't just enter and trouble water. See what did they find? I must catch fish in the trouble water. Praise God. I'm making noise. If you are doing that, look, do you just want people to say you are a preacher? Or you are targeting somebody to repent? That's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, how many souls did you get? It's not here. In fact, you can be charged for public disturbance. Under the public something in Lagos State. I'm telling you, they can jail you for it. And you don't say you are suffering for Christ. You are a lawbreaker.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
One more.
Let me tell you something. 1990 to 1996, 95. I was a serious evangelist. Every church I attended, you know, we are never big. 60% of every church I attended was my evangelical work that brought them. I would target a house, a family of 10 of them. I would say, the whole of this day, I will win them. And I will target them. Smuggle my way. Before you know what they are listening. The next Sunday, they are following me to my church. 10. I didn't make noise in the environment. The next week again, I did target another one. The next time again, I did target. It may take me up to 1 month, but I will surely get them. And when they come, that's what I was doing. And so not carrying megaphone and disturbing people. When the time we sleep, they sweet. They come, they say, repent! Repent from what? What do they do? Where is somebody to repent?
Sir, last question, sir.
Yes.
Sir, you said something pertaining to women preachers.
Yes.
I also believe that there are so many prophets and prophetess that are founders of a church.
Let me quickly correct something. I am talking of that type of evangelism in a city like Lagos. In a village, the means of communication is town criers. If that is the means of communication in that village, you can wake up at a time that you know they are going to their shrines and positionally wait for the time they are all going and begin to talk. That is target. You are targeting them. But please, when you are doing that, be sure that that is your ministry. That God will back you up. If not, hey! They called me on Thursday. Is it Thursday? Yes, Thursday. That a sister fainted, collapsed at somewhere at Okota. And passed on. So she passed on. You know. So the sister that took her, that called me. I said, is it possible to just get a taxi and rush her to the church? Take her straight to the powerhouse. I will run to the church and meet you. I took up from my house, rushed there. Before I reached here, they were already there. I made sure, say, you never die, finish. Intercessors were already praying. Before I joined my faith there, she came back to life. Listen, church. After I brought her to my office, what happened? She said she went out on evangelism. She was sharing track. Then she met some people. One of them was wearing apron of their church. I don't call any church name. And we began to warn. Some people said, they say we are occultic. We deal with you. Now one of them is this. We know him. The other one is like this, we'll deal with you. She said she didn't answer. She's all turned her thing, they go about, they do evangelism. Then suddenly she had something hit her at the back. And life was going. That is how she was. She just managed to take her phone to call somebody. And after she called her, people around tried to put her in a keke. The keke saw, say, na person lay down, I want to put for inside, but this he ran away. Then they remembered that she was calling a number. They called that number. That is how the person came down there. They used the phone to call me. That's where I went. She went for evangelism. That's where I am going. Before you go out for evangelism to confront them, make sure that is your ministry. Don't say you are an evangelist. You know John 3:16. For God so loved, the witch will look you. When they finish with you, you won't know where your Bible is. God bless you. Church, can we clap our hands for Jesus? Church, clap your hands for Jesus.